This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
And very happy to welcome to the program the ambassador to Ireland. I want to welcome to the program Daniel Mulhall. Ambassador, how are you today? Hello, Ambassador, are you there?
United States, as it happens. But anyway, as a detail, good to talk to you.
Very, very good to talk to you as well. I'm sorry, you were saying you cut out there. I'm sorry. Start over?
No, I'm the Irish ambassador to the United States. You said I was the ambassador to Ireland, but that's a different job. That's an American ambassador to Ireland. I'm the Irish ambassador here in the United States. I'm based in Washington, D.C. for the last 18 months.
Yes, I'm sorry. I thought yes. Okay, fair enough. That yes, you are the you're the Irish sent here to represent your country here in the United States.
Correct.
That's correct. What brings you to Philadelphia?
Well, of course, Philadelphia is a city with a huge history of Irish presence here. We know from recent statistics that it's the second most a populous Irish community after Boston. So it's a very big Irish community, very traditional, goes back to the 19th century. But of course, the reason I'm coming this time around is I'm attending a meetings of the Irish American Business Chamber and Network, which is our Irish American Chamber in Philadelphia, a very active chamber. And I'll be at a dinner with some of their award winners this evening. And then tomorrow at lunch, I'll be presenting the awards to a number of companies in the Philadelphia area that are being recognized by the chamber for what they're doing to connect the Irish economy with the economy of Philadelphia.
No, that's wonderful. I was in Ireland, I guess, about 2 years ago, and they talked a lot about the Celtic Tiger, the economic success that you've had over there. So there's a lot of partnerships then with the United States.
Huge, yes. I mean, of course, it started with American companies investing in Ireland going back to the 1960s and 70s. Today there are about 750 American companies with offices in Ireland, and many of them have significant numbers of employees in Ireland. 150,000 Irish people in all work for American companies. But the exciting part of the story is that in the last, say, 10 years, we've seen a lot of Irish companies coming here to the United States, and we now have about 500 Irish companies with investments in the U.S., and between them, they employ about 100,000 people. So it's a story of a kind of a booming economic connection between the United States. The idea is that we had the traditional people-to-people links created by immigration, Philadelphia and elsewhere in the U.S., but now, for recent times, we've seen a lot of economic interaction, and in the very recent years, we've seen a lot of Irish companies looking for opportunities to build their businesses here in the United States.
That's very, very important. Daniel Mulhall is the Irish ambassador to the United States, and he's in Philadelphia right now, joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Are you, when you're in town, are you going to be dealing with any political issues? Will anyone be discussing, like, for example, Brexit with you or anything like that?
Yes. Wherever I go in the United States over the last year and a half, the first question I'm asked is always about Brexit, and I'm sure be the case this evening when I meet some of the Irish American community here, and tomorrow again when I attend the award ceremony. So I do expect to be talking quite a lot about Brexit. It's the kind of thing I do a lot these days, and I'm happy to do it because it's important for Ireland, and it's important for people in the U.S. to understand where Ireland's coming from on Brexit. You know, the fact that we will remain a member of the European Union come what may. We have committed ourselves EU membership. We will not be following Britain out the exit door because we feel that EU membership has been very good for Ireland. And in the future as well, when Britain leaves, Ireland will become the only English-speaking country in the European Union. And we hope that we'll be able to play a bigger role in transatlantic relations because we'll probably be the European country with the best understanding of how the United States works.
It seems like the issue of Brexit, obviously very, very complicated, but where does it stand right now in terms of how quickly Brexit is going to be implemented? I know that there's been a lot of back and forth in Parliament, and have the sentiments of the people over there changed, in your opinion?
That's very difficult to say. I mean, you see various opinion polls which give different answers, but no, but I mean, the fact is that, you know, there is a Britain is due to leave on the 29th of March. So that's the date for Britain's departure. It's only about 4 weeks away now. They're supposed to leave with an agreement about the future relationship between Britain and the European Union and a transition period of 2 years. That agreement was made between the British government and the European Union some months ago, but it hasn't been possible for the British government to get that approved by the British Parliament. So at the moment, it's unclear what will happen. There are a number of votes planned for the 12th, 13th and 14th of March at the Westminster Parliament to decide on whether they can agree to the proposal put forward by the Prime Minister, which has been negotiated with the European Union, or whether they decide to delay Brexit, or to I mean, we don't know how that's going to work out. The next couple of weeks will be crucial when it comes to deciding how Brexit is going to work out. Either Britain will leave on the 29th of March with an agreement, without an agreement, which we feel would be a disaster for everyone concerned, or they will look for some extra time to try and find a solution to the issues which need to be resolved if Britain is to have a good relationship with the European Union into the future.
But you feel very strongly that Ireland's future is going to remain in the EU.
100%, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, in fact, I mean, I'm convinced about myself on the basis of 40 years of working in the Irish Foreign Service. I've been in the Foreign Service now since 1980. I've served in many countries, and I've seen the positive impact of EU membership on Ireland. I was also the ambassador to the United Kingdom, to Britain, for the past 4 years before I came to the U.S., in 2017, so I follow the whole Brexit debate in the UK as well. But the fact is that, you know, in latest opinion polls, and opinion polls, as you know, can be, you know, can be questioned, sure, but 90% of people in Ireland express themselves in favour of continued EU membership. So even if those polls are wrong by 5 or 10%, you know, there's a huge majority in Ireland in favour of EU membership, because most people understand the value of EU membership for Ireland, because it gives us access to a market of 500 million consumers, which we could never have as a country of our size with 5 million people.
The Irish ambassador to the United States joins me right now. Daniel Mulhall is with us. He's in Philadelphia right now. Lots of partnerships between Ireland and the United States. What's the opinion of your country in terms of the president, Donald Trump, of his economic programs and how it relates to trade? And has it been productive for Ireland to this point, you think?
Well, in fact, I mean, the tax reforms that came in last year here, obviously we examined those very carefully, and we have no difficulty with them. They haven't had any negative effect on the flow of investment into Ireland from the US. US companies are still coming to Ireland in large numbers because they recognize Ireland to be a country that's very similar to the United States in terms of our business culture. And they recognize that it's a good place to do business. It's a place which is profitable to operate in. You can access very highly qualified workers who speak English. You know, so all these things are pluses from the point of view of American investors in Ireland. And also, of course, you know, we have a tax regime which is very favorable to business. It's a 12.5% corporate tax rate. In fact, the U.S. rate has come down much closer to the Irish rate now since last year, and we regard that as a kind of a as a bit of a clap on the back for Ireland that the United States has decided to develop its corporate tax regime and move towards the system we have in Ireland with 12.5%. Now, I know yours will be 20%, but nonetheless, you've reduced it quite significantly. So the reforms that the president has brought in have had no effect on the thriving business between Ireland and the United States. Now, we do worry a bit about the possibility of tariffs and so forth between the EU and the US, because of all the European countries, we're the country with the most significant trading relationship with the US. The US is Ireland's biggest export market. It's our biggest trading partner. So if there were to be a trade conflict between the US and the European Union, Ireland would be a big victim of that. So we very much hope that the negotiations that are currently underway between the United States and the European Union, which President Trump and President Juncker set in motion in July of last year, we hope that those will succeed, because we feel it's vital that the EU and the US should be on the closest of terms and should work together in terms of trade and investment flows in the way they've done in recent years, to the benefit of both of our economies, frankly.
You know, Ambassador, I took, I guess it was about, I don't know, maybe 40, 45 listeners to Ireland a couple years ago. Everybody had a wonderful time. People were so nice there. It was just a wonderful, incredibly hospitable country. My wife is Irish, not from Ireland, but she's Irish-American, you know.
Irish-American, yeah.
And I'm Italian. We get along very, very well, as Italians and Irish people often do.
Always get along well, yeah.
You mentioned you were also the ambassador to the UK.
Yes.
I did notice tension, though. I have to be honest with you. When I went up to Northern Ireland, there was some tension that I felt, you know, when you cross the border there. And, you know, you see the murals and everything like that. How are the relations between the two countries?
Well, the British-Irish relationship has never been better. You know, when I was in Britain in 2014, we had the first ever state visit by an Irish president to the UK. Before that, for the last 100 years, it hadn't been possible to have a state visit. The Queen visited Ireland a few years before. That was well received. So everything is going very well. The trading relationship is quite strong. There are many, many Irish people who live in Britain, many British people who live in Ireland. So, you know, the relationship is a bit like US and Canada in a way. Now, of course, there is the political issue of Northern Ireland, and that has been a thorn in the side of British-Irish relations for a long, long time. But happily, 20 years ago, through assistance from the U.S. government, particularly from Senator George Mitchell, who was a very effective you know, mediator in Northern Ireland, we had this peace agreement which was made. And that has brought peace to Northern Ireland. And in fact, there hasn't been anybody, hasn't been any serious violence in Northern Ireland for more than 20 years now, which is a great thing. But unfortunately, the relations between the two communities there, those who see themselves as being British and those who see themselves being Irish, are not always smooth. They're not always very harmonious. And there is a tension there, and there's a fragility there. And that's why we in Ireland, our government, is determined that there should be no hard border between the north and south in Ireland, because that open border that currently exists is an important gain that was made from the peace that was agreed in 1998, and which has brought peace and prosperity to Northern Ireland and good relations between North and South in Ireland. And that's why Brexit, from the point of view of Northern Ireland, is a disruptive force, because it raises the possibility that sometime in the future there might have to be a hard border on the island of Ireland, and that would pose a risk to the precious peace process which Americans played such a role in bringing about.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Ambassador, because one of my listeners tweeting out asking, you know, would you please ask the Ambassador, do you foresee a change at the border because of Brexit in the next few weeks? What about the British pound? Will that drastically be affected because of Brexit, you know, within the next couple of weeks? If someone's planning to travel...
Well, no, I don't think that's a worry. The British government, our government takes the view that we can never have a hard border on the island of Ireland. And that's our firm position. The British government agrees with us on that, by the way. So does the European Union. So the question is how to make it happen in practice when Britain leaves the European Union. That's what we're really discussing at the moment. And that's what we have to try and find a solution to. But I don't see any circumstances in which there'll be a hard border on the island of Ireland. When it comes to your question about the value of sterling, well, it is true that sterling could be affected depending on the outcome of the negotiations and how Britain, the manner in which Britain eventually leaves the European Union could have an effect on the value of sterling. But it won't have an effect on the value of the euro. So, in fact, Americans who are going to Ireland or to anywhere in Europe will benefit from, you know, the fact that the dollar has strengthened against the euro in the last year or so. And that's one of the reasons why last year more than 2 million Americans visited Ireland. 1 in 10 Americans who went to the continent of Europe went to Ireland. And when you consider we have less than 1% of the population of the European continent, that's a remarkable fact. So those things won't change. And in fact, last night I did a tourism promotion in Washington, D.C., and I learned that even in January last month, we had a 10% increase in the number of Americans visiting Ireland, which is a remarkable figure, given that January wouldn't be in any way a peak month for people traveling to Ireland. But now we find that Americans are visiting Ireland all year round because there are so many direct flights from the United States to Ireland, including one from Philadelphia. In fact, I'll be flying from Philadelphia tomorrow evening to Dublin. I have some events in Dublin next week, and I'll be flying out from Philadelphia to Dublin tomorrow, and I'm sure that flight will be quite full of Philadelphians who will be going over for a few days or a week or to do business or whatever, or to visit family in Ireland, and we welcome that very much.
Wonderful. Well, listen, thank you for making time on this program.
You're
and also
very welcome.
For coming to Philadelphia, Ambassador. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Very good talking to you.
Yeah, very, very good talking to you too as well, and have a great and safe trip. Daniel Mulhall, the Irish Ambassador to the U.S. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
RCOE 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.